When a man truly lives a godly life, he lives a life with a constant realization of God's divine presence. He's God conscious. If you go back to our scripture reading, which was in Psalms 139. In Psalms 139, I want to point out just a couple of the passages or verses in that psalm that was read. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, God is there." But the difference with a godly man is he's aware, he's conscious of the fact that God is there. When he wakes in the morning, there's God. As he dresses for work, there's God. As he goes for breakfast with his family, as he drives to work, as he works through the day, as he drives home, as he spends the evening hours, as he lies down on his bed at the close of day, there is God. There's a passage in Genesis. In Genesis 5, and in verse 24, there's not much mentioned about the man Enoch. But it says in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. We've been talking about the way that we live, the direction we go in our life. Enoch was a man who walked with God. He was God conscious. He enjoyed a constant relationship with God. And wherever Enoch went, wherever he walked, God was with him. And Enoch was always aware that he was there. He could not, as we mentioned in Psalms 139, verse 7, he could not flee from God, but then Enoch wouldn't want to flee from God because he was a godly man. And because of that, God took him. He didn't have to experience death. What are the characteristics of being God conscious? Now, a man who develops a consciousness of God is a fortunate man. Such a person has an easy time praying because God is always close to him. In 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." God is a companion, and he listens. His ears are open to the prayers of those who are close to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ear attends their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, talking with God is as natural as talking to anyone that you are walking along with, or a companion that you are working with. That's the relationship we ought to have with God. Now, that's the relationship that Abraham had, as explained in James. James chapter 2, and in verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." When we're aware that God is with us, that God is next to us, there's no need for any fear. in Psalms 46. Psalms 46 and in verse 1. Psalms 46 verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea, those waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake as it's with its swelling pride. God is there. His presence helps us in times of trouble. And such a man places his hand in God's hand in times of difficulties. In Psalms 56, Psalms 56 and in verse 4, in God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And even the threat of death causes no undue concern, because a man who's conscious of God realizes, I'm just going home to be in the presence of the one who's always been with me. And in Psalms 23, Psalms 23, and in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, when we're conscious about God, that God's present everywhere I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, well, then temptation's greatly reduced. Because a lot of times we're tempted when we think no one sees us. The man who's conscious of God always realizes that God sees everything. He doesn't forget that point. In fact, over in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, and all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. It's bare. There's nothing hidden. It doesn't matter whether it's in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter where we're located. God sees. And if we have that desire to please our God, who constantly watches over us, then that power of temptation drastically decreases. Because the desire to please God is greater than any temptation. Going to Psalms 143. Psalms 143 and in verse 10. Psalms 143 and in verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And a person who is aware that God is there is ever thankful for what God has done for him. He recognizes that God is the source of all the good that happens in his life. Going back again to James, this time to James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. But we should understand that when we talk about being conscious of God and God's with us and God's there, we're not talking about a buddy-buddy type of relationship. A God-conscious man loves God. He talks to God. He walks with God. He's conscious of God's presence. He's never without God. But his relationship with God is that of reverence. Take a look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 29, and starting at verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious nature. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all these things have come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants, as our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. When we're conscious of God, we realize that God is awesome. In fact, that was the lesson that Job had to be reinforced. In Job chapter 37, Job 37 and in verse 22, it says, out of the north comes golden splendor. Around God is awesome majesty. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is exalted in power, and he will do no violence to justice and abundant righteousness. Therefore men fear him. He does not regard any who are wise of heart. When we're conscious of God, we recognize the power of God. And we recognize our own personal unworthiness to be in his presence. And when we serve God, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And in verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. So I want you to think about, how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with the Master who controls your life? Are you conscious of God? It's a short lesson, but I wanted you, it makes, I think, a good point that we need to understand and be always aware that God is everywhere in our lives, even in our deepest troubles and in our greatest joys. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.